Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
There. Welcome to the program. Great to be with you today. My name is Gary Zimak. Always a pleasure when we get to hang out for 30 minutes talking about Jesus and how he wants to be a part of your daily life. I hope your Lent is going well. And I want to thank you for all the support that I've gotten since I began doing this show once again. I did it for several years over on Blog Talk Radio, but due to the courtesy of our friends at Breadbox Media, I was able to resurrect the program, and I'm getting very good comments from you. Thank you. Please continue to let me know what you think of the program and what you would like to hear on the show going forward. I'll take all your requests very seriously, and we'll try to put them into practice in the near future. You can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, or just head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com, and contact me that way. And by the way, please spread the word about this podcast to your friends, your family, because it is now available in addition to through the Breadbox Media app. You can also get it on iTunes, on Podbean, on Stitcher. So this, we're trying to get it out to as many people as possible to let them know that there is hope. No matter what your situation, there is hope. Today, I'm excited about this because this is a problem that plagues so many of us. And I include myself in that category, and I need to be reminded of this too. You're praying and God is silent. He doesn't answer. Do you ever go through that? God doesn't answer my prayers. What's the deal? Where is he? What's happening there? Well, here's what's interesting. There are examples in the Bible of that very thing happening. We'll talk about two such examples and why that might be. It's just not because he's busy. You know, sometimes we think God is too busy. He doesn't have time to answer me during Lent, especially Jesus is running around. He's got a lot to do. No, he's there. He's hearing, and he is responding, often in ways that we wouldn't expect. So we'll talk about that today on the program. In the meantime, before we get any further, let's kick things off with prayer and ask the Lord to be with us all and inspire my words and to open our hearts and our minds. Please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us this great opportunity to come together and talk about you, to talk about Jesus, to talk about the Holy Spirit on this podcast. Father, I ask you to bless each one of us today. We give you thanks for the many great things that you have done throughout history. You were always there for your people. And I also give you thanks for what you have done in my life and the life of everyone else who is listening today. Father, we ask you to guide us as we continue our Lenten journeys. May everything we do, anything we deny ourselves, any extra activity we take up during Lent. May it always bring us closer to you. Father, I ask you to send forth your Holy Spirit. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit, and especially use me today as your instrument. May all that I say on this program give glory to your name. Please guide my words, guide my thoughts, so that I may proclaim your message and not my own personal message. Father, also open up each of our hearts today so that we can be receptive to what you have to say to us and be ready and willing to put it into practice. Father, we ask for this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Always feels good when we pray, doesn't it? And I thank you for the privilege of being able to walk this journey with you. And I'm not kidding, because I hear constantly from people who are following along with me. You know, as I like to say, we're two friends sitting around a table always. But here's the deal. I love you and all, but I'm not going to provide your beverage or your snack. So if you want to bring your own food, that's fine. Grab a beverage, whatever it is. Let's hang out at the table and let's talk about Jesus. And let's crack open his word, the Bible, so that we can hear instructions for living. Today we're going to talk about, this is a very challenging topic. We're going to talk about, we're praying and the Lord is silent. What the heck is going on there? And how do we deal with it? And again, I have a couple examples that I want to share with you. But just a quick reminder, if you like this podcast, please subscribe to it. And if you're getting it through iTunes, and I think you can do it on Podbean and some of the other services as well, please give it a rating, because that would really help to get my message out to as many people as possible. So again, and tell people about it. Let them know that there's this guy, Gary, who's talking about Jesus and the Bible, and he's helping us to really have hope, because a lot of times we can tend to be hopeless. We tend to wander through life not feeling anything. I mean, it can happen to everybody. You need a little uplifting. Well, this show is nothing but good news. That's the whole purpose of this. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to have peace as you walk through life. So how do we handle it? How do we handle it when we're praying? And, you know, this could go on for more than days. This could be weeks. This could be months. This could be years. I've prayed for some intentions for years. Ultimately, the Lord did say yes, interestingly enough. He doesn't always say no. Just because there is not a response doesn't mean you're getting a no. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means we'll get into it, but he's testing your faith, essentially. That's what he's doing. He's testing your faith because he wants you to grow closer to him. So one of my favorite stories is in the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. It has to do with the faith of a Canaanite woman. Now, a Canaanite woman, she's a foreigner. She's not a Jew. So she's somewhat of an outsider, which is a very interesting twist to the story. It's also very important. Matthew 15, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and is suffering terribly." Now, throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, we have seen many times where Jesus had pity on individuals. And we know that. We know he has an unconditional, he loves us unconditionally. And he does, if you're suffering in any way, trust me, he has pity on you. He cares. He is concerned. And here we have a woman in an obviously desperate situation. Again, a Canaanite woman, a foreigner, if you will, came to Jesus crying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, this Son of David, she's recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. I mean, this is a big thing, because there were a lot of Jews that didn't accept him. So this woman obviously is very respectfully going up to Jesus, almost desperately, I would say desperately, "My daughter is demon-possessed and is suffering terribly." Now, I'm a parent. If you're a parent, you understand what it's like when your kids are hurting. So you just try to put yourself in the place of this woman. When my kids are suffering in any way, I'm going to do whatever I can to try to help them. And that's what's happening here. Here this woman is coming in contact with Jesus, who is traveling around performing miracles. Obviously, the word is getting out. What a great opportunity. She encounters Jesus, and she tells him, she begs him, "My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Have mercy on me." Now, you know what mercy is? Mercy, a good definition of mercy is love when it encounters suffering. So when love encounters suffering, what happens? The individual tries to do something about it, tries to relieve that suffering. That's what divine mercy is. God reaches out to us in our suffering through anxiety, through physical ailments, whatever it may be, loneliness, and he in some way tries to reach out and alleviate the suffering for us. And that's what mercy is. So she's having, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter's in bad shape. What can you do for me?" How did he respond? Now, before I go on, just try to picture how he would have responded. He would have fixed the problem, right? That's what we would expect. But if you're familiar with this story, that's not at all what happened. Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. There you go. There is your example, direct from the Bible, of Jesus, somebody coming right up to Jesus. And this is not like we pray to Jesus. When we pray to him, we can't see his flesh. We can't see him as a person. So it's almost easier for us to accept him not answering. But try to picture this. This woman is asking him to have mercy. This great healer, this compassionate man, the Son of God, "Have mercy on my daughter. She's suffering terribly, possessed by a demon," and he didn't answer. Why would he do something so nasty? Well, there are a couple of reasons, but I want to put something in here, just a hypothesis on my part. And sometimes in the Bible, there are details left out, and you have to read between the lines. We're told that Jesus did not answer a word, didn't say anything to her. Is it possible? Just let's work with me here for a minute. Is it possible that Jesus smiled at her, looked at her with a compassionate look, held one finger up as if to say, "Just a minute," maybe embraced her? I mean, that might be stretching a little bit, but there's no reason to believe that that could not have happened. When we hear this, he didn't answer a word. The first thing we have to remember is that we weren't there. There could be possibly some details omitted. We know that he didn't say anything. Maybe he put his hands on her shoulders. We don't know that. But I just want you to think about that. A compassionate Jesus not answering her a word. Now, the disciples are all over this one. And the disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Look at what these guys are doing. Now, the disciples are not known as guys who generally know what's going on. I mean, they miss the point time and time again. Look what's happening here. This woman is crying out, asking the Lord to have mercy on her daughter. And they're saying, "Get rid of her. She's bothering us." I like when they said, "She's crying out after us." That's pretty funny, isn't it? She's crying out after us. Now, what an ego trip these guys are on. She's not crying out after us. She's crying out after Jesus. But they're saying, "Get rid of her. Send her away." Isn't that interesting? And I think we do that with a lot of people in our lives sometimes. You know, "Go away. Go away. Stop bothering me. I'm trying to do something here." This is an example of how the Bible can talk to us on so many different levels. So, if you picture yourself being that woman, Jesus didn't answer. And again, we could read into it, but the pure fact is he didn't answer. He didn't say, "Yes, boom, she is healed." He didn't say that. The disciples said, "Get rid of this woman. She keeps crying out after us." In other words, she's annoying us. She's bothering us. How would you react? Well, look at what she did. I skipped a line. I'm sorry. She was crying. The disciple said, "She keeps crying out after us." And Jesus answered, I'm getting ahead of myself here, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," which is a true statement. He was sent first to the Israelites. She is not an Israelite. The point is, he would share his message with the Israelites, and then they would go out and share his message with with the Gentiles, which is exactly ultimately what St. Paul did. St. Paul was the apostle. He was Jewish, but he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So that was a true statement. And again, we read that and we think that is a nasty type statement. Now, after Jesus said that, how did the woman react? So here's another reason for her to just give up and say, you know what? You're not answering me. These disciples are trying to get rid of me. And now you tell me you're not sent to heal me? I've got to wait in line, or you're basically telling me no? How did she react? The woman came, picture this, and knelt before Jesus. Lord, help me, she said. Isn't that amazing? She knelt, a sign of submission, a sign of reverence. She knelt. And this is an example of prayer. This is somebody who's praying, kneeling before Jesus with the three words that should be a part of each one of our prayer books, our mental prayer books that we use every day. Lord, help me. Now, is that an example of stupidity? I don't think so. I think it's an example of faith. She knew. She was persistent. Somebody telling her to get lost, not receiving an instant answer from Jesus, receiving what seemed to be an off-putting comment, I was sent to the Israelites, you're not one of them, it's not enough to stop this woman. She takes that humble position of kneeling before Jesus and said, Lord, help me. You think he's done, right? Not a chance. Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Wouldn't that be enough for you at this point? I would say, I could picture myself in that woman's position. What are you doing to me? You're making an absolute fool out of me. Can you imagine what the disciples are thinking at this point? They're already trying to get rid of her. And now she's kneeling before Jesus. And he first says that I came to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. And now he's saying it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Now, in all fairness, the word that is used for dogs is not the word that refers to, in English we have one word for dogs, but remember, the Gospels are written in Greek, and Jesus was speaking Aramaic, so there's a lot of translation problems that could occur here, but the word in the original manuscripts that we have used for dogs refers to puppies or pets. So it was not as harsh as it sounds, but still, he's not answering her problem. He's not addressing the fact that her daughter is possessed by a demon. Now, if you're this woman, what do you do at this point? Well, I'll tell you what she did when Jesus said it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She said in verse 27, yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This is an incredible example of humility, of someone who understands that Jesus is divine and we're not. This is somebody who loves her daughter enough to be persistent. This is somebody who understands that with God, all things are possible. And she is not going to leave until the Lord grants her request. And what is Jesus' response? Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And wait for it. Here we go. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, we look at this story in something. This is a story that bothers many people. I know I've heard it, and it has upset me for years until I really got some good explanations of what's going on here. I prayed about it. I read it over and over. This is not a bad story. This is an example of Jesus trying to draw out the faith in this woman because he knew it was there. Keep in mind, he knows who he's dealing with. If you and I meet on the street and we start talking, I don't necessarily know how strong your faith is. Even if you tell me things, I still am not sure. But here is Jesus. He knows everything. So he's able to know what kind of faith this woman had. But he wanted to help her grow even more. This is exactly what he does for us. If you pray for something and you get answered immediately, has there ever been a time in your life where you stopped praying and ignored the Lord and went on either to the next problem or just went on your merry way and didn't go back to thank him? Let's be honest here. Most of us have had that happen on many, many occasions. And most of us know what it's like to persistently pray for an extended period of time. And all of a sudden, we get the intention granted. We get exactly what we asked for. Sometimes we won't. Sometimes we'll get a no. Or sometimes we'll get something even better. But we know that feeling. And then we sit back and we think, boy, I'm glad I kept praying for that. And you may say, this is a very valid point. You may say, why should I have to ask? And this is, I've heard this over and over. I've questioned myself. But here's the way prayer works, especially this kind of prayer. Prayer is a relationship that we have with the Lord. Essentially what it is, it's a conversation. But there is a type of prayer called prayer of petition, where I'm asking for something. And the reason the Lord wants us to ask for things is because he wants a relationship with us, and he knows that we have a fallen human nature, and if we didn't need things from him, we would go out and try to do everything on our own. That's the way we are. He wants us to depend on him for everything. It doesn't mean we don't do things. He expects us to do what we can, but he really, ultimately, it wants to be our provider. And he wants us to turn to him and ask for things. And when he grants even the smallest favor, sometimes we're praying for something, and it seems silly. We're praying for a parking spot. When I'm driving in the morning, I have a couple tricky merges onto highways, and I pray to the Lord. I've learned to pray and say, Lord, let this merge go okay for me, because I'm merging onto a very high traffic area. And invariably, it works a lot. I mean, I don't want to say all the time, but it works very well. And when I get on the highway and I don't have a problem, I say, thank you, Lord. I found a parking spot. Thank you, Lord. And you can do it with the smallest things. If it's something you care about, the Lord cares about it too. But when you do that, when you pray that way, when you learn to pray for everything, and you see these answers to your prayer. Now, again, you won't always get what you want. And at that time, it's your chance to say, okay, Lord, thank you for answering. You know best. It wasn't what I wanted, but I trust you. Or when you get exactly what you wanted, you could say, thank you, Lord. You heard my prayer and you gave me exactly what I wanted. And what happens? Your faith begins to grow. I've said it many times. My daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, are 21 years old. They had a 10% chance of being born alive. Eileen and I prayed and had many, many people praying for the girls to be born alive. They were. My faith and Eileen's faith and so many other people's faith was changed, was increased, was definitely boosted by that miracle. So that's what happens. I've seen many miracles in my life, and unfortunately for us, this cynicism sometimes creeps in, and we get jaded by the world, and we'll have something favorable turn out, and we'll say, yeah, but that's not really an answered prayer. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to start helping us to see these answered prayers and God's providential hand in our lives, because many times we miss it. And by nature, I tend to be a little on the cynical side, but I'm changing. The more I'm growing closer to Jesus Christ and getting to know him, walk with him, and really depending on him for everything, the more I'm able to see his hand in everything I do. So to sum this up, I can't believe we're somewhat near the end of the program. This is an amazingly cool story, and if you get a chance, crack open your Bible to Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21, right through verse 28. So Matthew 15, 21 through 28, and read this story again, the faith of the Canaanite woman, because this is going to be your go-to story. There are others, and we'll cover other ones in the weeks to come. This is your go-to story for when you're praying and you're hearing nothing, when God is silent in your life. Oftentimes, he will be. And there are many, many other occasions in the Bible where we see exactly this same thing in the New Testament alone. The story that comes to mind is the storm at sea where the disciples are with Jesus. He's back. He's in the back of the boat sleeping while the storm is nearly destroying the ship. He's silent. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. It just means that he's silent. Ultimately, they went to him. They woke him up. You see, he wants us to persist. He wants us to persist in faith. There's also the story of the persistent widow. We'll talk about that one another time, when the widow persists and just keeps trying to pester, if you will, for lack of a better word, the judge, the unjust judge. Eventually, he grants her request. And the reason the Lord tells us that story is to remind us of the fact that we should be persistent in prayer. So my advice for you, if you're struggling, if you're praying, please don't stop praying. That's the biggest mistake that we make. Because the ultimate objective of prayer is not just to get what we want. And God knows that. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to depend on Him. And when He grants our requests, oftentimes very small requests, He wants us to grow in faith and make us realize that prayer works. I think that's one of the big mistakes that many, many people make. Because you can't necessarily see the immediate result of your prayer, oftentimes we assume prayer just doesn't do anything. And we put it in the category of a last resort. Well, when nothing else works, let me try prayer. And even then, we don't take it that seriously. Prayer is very important. Prayer is incredibly important. Prayer can open the door to miracles in your life. And again, I've seen it. I've seen it, and I continue to pray for miraculous things in my life. I've been praying for some intentions for many years, and the Lord's not answering. Sometimes He gives me little signs that He's listening. He'll do that to you, but you got to look for these signs. And again, when the woman went to Jesus, He didn't say a word, but did He wink His eye? Did He smile at her? Did He encourage her in any way? And you'll get these disciples who try to tell you to shut up or tell you to try to stop praying. Oh, that's not going to work. Why are you wasting your time? Don't listen. They're wrong. They're wrong. They'll tell you you are not realistic. They're not realistic because you're talking to the God of the universe who can do all things, right? So who knows better? You do. So keep it up. And remember, this is how you grow in faith. So the next time this woman needed something, I'm sure she had even more confidence, and her daughter was healed. Jesus gave her exactly what she asked for. But please remember, you won't always get what you want. You will get what you need. But by all means, ask. If you want a complete and total physical healing for yourself or for a loved one, pray for it. If you need anything, pray for it. Be specific. Challenge the Lord. He likes that, because the more you challenge Him, the greater the faith that you have in Him. And He likes that. He wants you to have faith. So I really want to thank you for tuning in today. This is fun, isn't it? I like this. Now, there is a possibility that this podcast may expand at some point. I'm doing one day right now. I'm loading them up on Fridays, but I'm feeling like we could take this a little bit. We could stretch this out a little bit more and maybe do another episode or two. But here's what this is going to depend on. It's going to depend on your prayers, your interest. And I also have to say, I don't like saying this, but I need your help. If you're able to help me financially, I would be very grateful, because I need the extra funding to be able to put the time in to do these podcasts and do some more expansion of my ministry. If you're able to do that, please don't put yourself in any jeopardy financially. If you don't have it, please just pray for me. That's very, very important. But financially, if you're able to contribute to become a monthly sponsor of my work, I would be extremely grateful for that. And the way you would do that is by going to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, and you click on the Donate tab. The Donate tab will take you to the page where you can become a monthly sponsor. You could give $10 a month. That would be incredibly helpful. You can give all the way up to, I think I have $1,000 a month. If you have that and you can do it, I would absolutely put that to great use. That would allow my ministry to expand astronomically. Now, you can do that. You can also make a one-time donation. And again, if you enjoy this work that I do, if it helps you in any way, I want to reach more people, and I need your help to do that. So if you could make a donation there, become a monthly sponsor, please go to followingthetruth.com and do that. And thank you in advance for considering that. And please spread the word about this podcast to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family members. I want to share this message with more and more people. because there are people walking around who are desperate, who have lost hope, and there's no reason for that. Jesus Christ is here to be a part of our lives. My thanks to you. My thanks to Breadbox Media for allowing this to be possible. Please continue to listen to the podcast, subscribe to it, send me your comments at gary@followingthetruth.com. And finally, if you would like to bring me to your parish, to your conference, to give a talk at your church, I would be happy to do that. I travel throughout the country doing just that. I can come and talk about moving from fear to faith, how to break free from worry. I could talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Whatever you need, let me know. You can contact me at followingthetruth.com. And if you want to book a Lenten 2020 parish mission talk retreat, I've done Give Up Worry for Lent this year. It was a huge success. I'm booking for next year, so Lent of 2020. It is not too early. Please do that. I would love to come out and share this message with you and with the people in your church. So again, thank you so much for everything. Remember, I'm going to be praying for you. Please keep me and my family in your prayers as well. And I look forward to being with you once again on the next episode of The Gary Zimak Show. Don't stop praying. Whatever you do, the Lord hears your prayers, and He will answer when the time is right. Have a wonderful day. God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.